Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
There's a lot of other people named in this affidavit. Some we even have some where it talks about one talking to their sister and admitting involvement in the murder, professing details that no one else would know.
Two of his sisters.
Yeah, that no one else would know.
Right.
So these people right now, as of this recording, are out there. They're free. Are we going to see some new arrests made here, or is this still going to be digging in? We're going to stick with our story with Richard Allen, or are they going to look at charging more people? Because this is pretty damning with what we're looking at here for some certain people.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And I know you're just starting to dig into that bad boy, and your mind, Tony, is going to be blown, because it's not just the one guy.
Yeah.
It's like it's every single guy that they talk about, they come with receipts.
Yeah.
Like as soon as I read it, I'm like on these guys' Facebook pages, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all the Odinism stuff is still there. Like, dude, just when you get all the way through, and it's a long read, my friend.
Yeah.
So I understand why you haven't gotten through it. We're busy guys. But when you get the time late at night,
yeah,
when you're trying to fall asleep and you want to have a nightmare, you go ahead and read that thing. And it's stunning. It really is. And just like people are wanting to dismiss it, but I just keep trying to make people understand this isn't. There is definitely defense lawyering in it, because I think that they did take advantage of the situation and laid out their case when they otherwise wouldn't be able to. Because typically, as we know,
mm-hmm,
we're typically getting the state's theory of the case when we get PCAs. And that is what floats out in the public up until trial.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge advantage for the state. The defense is trying to offset that, which is like, as a defense attorney, I respect it. Do I think that they went too far afoot with the descriptions of, you know, what they believe happened at the crime scene? Yes, I do. I think that was unnecessary. I think that my fear is that they went so far afoot with that they potentially may have turned the judge against them again.
Yeah.
I would hope not. I hope that she's going to rule on the law, and I have every reason to believe that she will. But, you know, if it's close in that decision, whether or not when she pulls out Liggett's lies, which I am very confident they are going to get established, because I don't know what he's going to say, because these are coming from written police reports.
Yeah.
Where people said something different than what he wrote in the affidavit. And I'm not talking minute details. I'm talking substantial details.
Yeah.
So when they pull those lies out, you know, if the judge is upset and she's on the fence, if she's upset about the way that they went about this, I think she's going to kick it down the road. I don't think that she'll suppress, because she'll have a base. She'll say, because that is left to the judge's discretion, mm-hmm, whether or not she believes that there's enough probable cause for the warrant to survive. So, you know, that's the whole other part of it. And so if you follow the case, the last hearing, when I can't remember if it was June or July,
yeah,
I should look that up really, because they keep saying that. I should really just look up when I was there. But this bombshell dropped that Richard Allen had confessed 2 to 3 times over a recorded jail call to his wife that he had killed the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense at that point did not deny it. Okay. They let it stand. So in this motion, they address it, the confession. Now, the way that they did it again, they took liberties. Okay. Because mm-hmm, it turns out that two of the sergeants that were guarding him at the prison, Westfield Prison, where he's at, are Odinists. And again, they come with receipts. I went on to these guys' Facebook pages, and it's all Odinism. These guards were wearing patches that said on their government issued uniforms, mind you, saying "In Odin we trust." And then one had the three symbols of three triangles, which is an Odinistic symbolism. Okay.
Yeah.
So these guys are clearly Odinists. And what the defense is alleging is that every time they would come visit, that these two guys were there, that when they were coming for their attorney client visits to prep for trial, when we're supposed to have, you know, a quiet, secure area to prepare our client because they have no right to listen to attorney client privilege conversations.
Yeah.
So what they were doing is they had a handheld camcorder. They placed him in a room. They turned his chair, Richard Allen's chair, to face the window that they were behind. And they're alleging so that they could film his lips to see if he was saying anything. So this is where they go and they speculate, mm-hmm. but they put it in there as a quote. So it's very like when you first blush, you're like, oh my God. But then you have to read the footnote number 15, where it says, we need to be clear. This is not what Richard Allen said to us,
yeah.
but we're assuming that, that had these gentlemen not been there watching every move, every word that said,
sure.
that this is what he would have said to us, which is what I just said, that essentially that they, hey, these guys told me that if I don't tell my wife that I killed these two girls, that they're going to kill my wife and family.
Oh my God.
So that is like mind blowing, right? I mean, that's insane.
And the scary part of all this is, like you said, there's receipts for a lot of these things. It's not just this wild defense story that someone is making up, like Corey Richin saying it's a fake book. Or like exactly. this is like, this oh is, my God, this might all completely add up.
Yes, exactly. And so, but what they do say that he did say is that he would mumble. Like when they would come in, he'd say, like, so they're claiming that he didn't actually say those words, but that he did say, is my wife alive? Mm-hmm. Is my family alive? Is my wife okay? Is my family okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you don't have to take, because the way that you look at that is, because at that hearing that I was at where the bombshell dropped about the confessions,
yeah.
okay, one of the things that the judge did rule on is she put a restraining order against the prison that they're not allowed to film him.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a couple of months after the fact to where they're doing jail visits. You have to wonder, I mean, of course, if they're not filming, that doesn't mean that they're still not present and lurking within earshot
mm-hmm.
to where Richard Allen still would not feel comfortable saying it. Because frankly, if that's true, he's got to be worried that they're going to kill him somehow, like, you know, and make it look like a suicide.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like people want to act like this kind of thing doesn't happen in prisons, but I've got news for you. It does.
Well, yes. And what they also, and this all plays in together, the big question that's been for a long time, why the hell is he in prison? He's innocent till proven guilty. He's in a prison, not a jail.
I know.
That well, doesn't make
claim,
any
their,
sense.
Their claim was is that the jail, the Carroll County Jail, was not secure enough for them to keep him safe. Their yeah. story is that they're concerned that the public or another inmate, somebody would kill him prior to trial if he were kept in the Carroll County Jail.
I mean, that's a good excuse in certain ways. I mean, that does make some sense. But to put him there now in with inmates, you may also be odinous. And certainly we do have information on several of the guards being part of that. It really opens up your eyes to the wider part of this case. The other question I would have on this is if this is, we're just talking about the Richard Allen accusations and he being looked at for this murder, but we see this other evidence over here. How common is ritualistic killings in this area with Odinists? And it makes me wonder, are there other cold cases that are sitting there right now of missing people or children that if this does in fact play out to be legit, are they, is this yeah, a regular I mean, practice?
That's what the pushback, like that's what people are like having a hard time wrapping their mind around.
Yeah.
You know, there's Odinists in rural Indiana. Well, that's exactly the types of areas where these kind of things happen.
Yeah, that are like, rural so Idaho.
In terms of like the only thing that I've seen is that there were two young girls that were burned up in a house fire that they know was arson that happened within 3 months of this. And what they're saying with the Odinist thing is that they've co-opted the Odinism, but it's really that they're white supremacists.
Okay.
Like you'll see it in there. Like that's that first sentence that you read. You know, mm-hmm. like in the actual memo. So that's what they've said, that they're using the guide of Odinism. They're doing the rituals, but that really they're white supremacists. And what they're saying, and it gets crazier, Tony, because there's an actual link. So when you get to it, and I like, I waffle between using their names because they name all these guys. Mm-hmm. And obviously these guys are like, they were guys that were clearly investigated. There's, you know, but so like for our purposes, let's just not name them. I'm going to use the initials BH.
Yeah.
Okay. And so BH's son was, and they use quotes, was dating Abby.
Yes.
So there's a direct link from these guys to Abby. You know what I mean? It's like all the pieces are there,
yeah,
for it to fit. And the story is, in terms of motive, what the defense is alleging is that one of the two girls' mothers was dating outside of their race. Okay.
Okay.
So it's a lot, man. We've already gone on for half.
No.
That, like, next week we'll hammer away at this thing because you'll have a million questions for me. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I'm already shocked.
It's something else, man. It's something else.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.